So listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are having to redo an intro for our podcast that's going to be launching this week because for some reason I had technical difficulties in the first 5 or 7 minutes. It wasn't recording, but that's okay. This one is, Sarah's a verbal processor and I'm not. So we're just going to go ahead and start because I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Enjoy.
Hey everybody, William here, and
Sarah.
And today you're listening to our podcast. And what is the theme of our podcast? Because you love a good theme.
I love a good theme.
You do love a good theme.
Life behind the highlight reel.
That is what it's called.
And this is why it's so important, is so often we think everything is sunshine and rainbows on the highlight reel.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
But real life might not always match up. So these conversations that we have, whether it's you and me, whether it's you, me, and a guest, it's just really about like the real life stuff.
So welcome to Life Behind the Highlight Reel.
So glad you're here.
Let's roll.
Hey everybody, today on our podcast, we have a really interesting topic that we dive into, and it's all about trusting yourself. And I talk about how like areas of my life where like trust got off track. And I also talk about how I verbally process and how you need to make sure that you trust the people around you when you are verbally processing. So it's been a really interesting episode that I do hope you enjoy. So we're just going to go right in to where we started off. Once the audio started working, we only missed the first 5 minutes of the podcast.
And the first 2 or 3 are me just being hilarious, so you missed the best part.
Anyway.
All right, everybody.
Enjoy.
Let's go. Because I knew I had to, if I made a decision, I had to stick with it. Otherwise, there'd be really bad repercussions. Does that answer your question at all? I don't know if it does.
Yes and no, because it's like I think about a time when I was actually in third grade and I didn't have like the trauma, any type of abuse trauma that I can remember, you know, like in my childhood. But like what I do remember is like when I didn't, I had medical issues going on. And I would share like, oh, like this symptom or that symptom and this symptom and that symptom. And the doctors would be like,
Yeah, I had that as well. Yeah.
I think everything's fine. And then it turned out I had Lyme disease.
It's so crazy.
It's like, I didn't know. It's like, that's one of the things that was like imprinted from that early age is like, if I, like, do I have a headache? Like, is the headache there? Do I have this injury? Like, I think I do. Like, I think I feel it. But, like, they don't believe me. So it's like when you kind of get offset from an early age on, like, from the medical profession.
Like, you don't trust your own emotions?
I don't even think you trust, like, your emotions. You don't trust, like...
You're kind of yell talking.
That's okay.
Okay. Just letting you know.
I'll yell talk if I want to yell talk.
I'm just saying, You're bringing the passion, maybe I should have said.
Well, I just feel it because it's like, this year, one of the things that I've really worked on is trusting myself.
Yeah.
And it's even been for you to listen to me when I feel like I need to trust myself. You know, because I could be like, well, I think we need to consider this and I think we need to think about this. And sometimes you would blow me off.
You okay?
Or be like, or you'd say things like, you know, why are you thinking about that stuff? Like,
okay.
It's all going to be fine. Everything's like, no, you're just creating this or whatever. And then when it would happen, I would be like, you need to trust me.
Wait, okay. I feel like you're attacking me right now. You're coming at hard.
Well, I was yell talking.
You were yell talking.
No, honestly, it's like how we talked about in episode one, like, we're actually going to talk about things that maybe I might have skirted before or I wouldn't have like actually brought up. But I just think like male, female, it doesn't really matter. But it's like how many times have I as a female kind of not trusted myself and then I didn't speak up.
Okay.
I'm not coming at you.
Well, I'm sitting right here.
Oh, did you feel like I was attacking you?
No. Okay. I really didn't.
Tell me how
you're
coming
in hot though, and that's okay. Rightfully so. That's how you feel. Trust that feeling.
Well, because a year ago, what did you tell me?
Ooh, I don't know.
Lots of things.
Yeah, I say a lot of things.
No, a year ago, you said to me, I'm going to trust your gut feelings more.
Oh, I did. Yes, I totally did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we had a team change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you've been better at saying, hey, this is what my gut's telling me. Then I'll say, just do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to talk about it more.
I am a talker.
And I just...
I am a processor.
I am not. I'm just an inaction
type. And you're so lucky, Will, because I have learned about myself. One of the things I've learned is that I'm a verbal processor. And yes. So as a verbal processor, you actually... Safety and trust mm-hmm. is really important. Because I could be verbally processing something with you today. But then in a week or two, maybe I got more information or whatever. So it's like I'm a verbal processor.
And then you want to talk about it again.
Yes, but if you are not careful about who you verbally process with, mm-hmm. it could be portrayed as gossip.
Oh.
You have to be very careful about that because I have had people come back and say, well, I heard you said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, what was the situation? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, I did say that, but it was because of X, Y, Z. And mm-hmm. like we were processing it as like a leadership team.
So like, it was process. You were verbally processing. You thought somebody was in the room that was you could trust. And they took it out of context because they thought it was gossip. This is so out of my normal reality for me.
Well, right, because you wouldn't care.
Also, I wouldn't talk about other people really. Like, plus, if somebody said something to me, I keep secrets. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody tells me something in confidence, I take because loyalty, core value, loyalty here. Mm-hmm. I keep that extremely. So it's just a difference. It's just a complete difference.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just, yes, you are a verbal processor. And then you'll say, hey, you know what I think we should do? And I'll say, no. And then you'll say, we should do X. And I go, okay, let's do it. And you're like, wait, I want to talk about it. And I'm like, why? I already said we could do it. And then you're like, no, I'm not done processing. And I'm like, but you told me that's what you want to do.
I know. But it all goes back to like trust, right? Like mm-hmm. who's in your circle where you can verbally process whatever the topic may be.
Oh, very few people.
With that guaranteed trust.
Very few people. Kind of funny. We were talking about this the other day with somebody else I was talking with on the phone. And we were talking about your circle. Mm-hmm. Like your circle, like your ride or dies. Did we talk about this in episode one? I don't know if we did.
No.
Your ride or dies. Like your homies that you call at 3 a.m, they answer and they're on their way with a shovel and a shotgun. Like dramatic, yes. But you know what I'm talking about when I say that. That's a very tight circle. Mm-hmm. Very tight circle. If most people on one hand could count what that is. Mm-hmm. We were talking about ours, like mine personally, and I came up 4. Mm-hmm. That's not a slight on anybody else. That's just, these are the 4 that have been pivotal in my life.
I don't know if pivotal is a word.
Pivotal. Something that is able to pivot. Pivotal. Pivotal parts of my life. So that's interesting. And I'm just going to ask, don't women talk more about people that they talk about more? Women just tend to use your word, and I'm genuinely coming from a place of curiosity here. Don't women tend to gossip more than men?
Like, is it gossip or is it verbally processing?
I don't know.
Because to me...
It's a great question.
It's like verbal... like, sometimes I just need to be like, okay, this situation happened. This is how I feel. How do I, like, start to understand it or frame it in my life where I'm not coming at the victim as a victim. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming at it as a hero. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to problem solve. Mm-hmm. I'm literally just trying to like understand the situation. And that means for me, I need to talk about it.
You use the term coming from curiosity.
Yes.
Is that similar to what you're talking about here?
Yes.
Tell me more about, because coming from curiosity is, well, you said a few things. You said problem solving. I don't like to talk. I just want to, it's like, oh, I'm feeling this way. Have you done this? Listen, asshole, I didn't ask you for a solution. Mm-hmm. I was just expressing an emotion I had. So, I mean, I've said this a couple times and sometimes I need to be told, do you want me to be a statue or do you want me to be a sounding board? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's statue first, then sounding board. But I immediately like to go into problem solving. So like one of the activities you have us do is as a team is the issues list. Mm-hmm. And the issues list is, it's infuriating for me because I want to defend everything because I don't feel attacked, but I feel attacked. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you're not trying to be malicious. Mm-hmm. You're striving for good, mm-hmm. and all these things. And so when it's not landing in that way on other people, and now mm-hmm. you're getting feedback,
it doesn't feel great. I'd rather say the F bomb than the F back.
Yeah, they're both F bombs.
Yeah. So no, I'm not a fan of feedback, and coming from a place of curiosity is really hard, and not jumping into problem solving is hard for most people, I think. Because mm-hmm. how many times when you go on social media and say, I am having a bad day, go out for a walk, get some sunshine, get some vitamin D.
And Will, 1,000% honesty here.
Yeah.
I have been a problem solver for people. Like,
oh, yeah.
And not asked to be the
problem
solver.
You can't be 1,000% anything.
I know, I was waiting for it.
Why did you do that? You can't be more than 100%. Anything more than 100% is not possible.
But like sometimes I'll insert myself to be like the problem solver. And like, it's like, no, we don't need to be the hero for the other person. Mm-hmm. We have to actually ask them, do you want me just to hold space? Do you want to talk about it? Like,
sometimes the learning's in the struggle too.
Oh, yeah.
Like sometimes as coaches, we have to realize that the learning is in the struggle. Mm-hmm. Like if we just, the whole teach a man to fish type thing, whatever, I don't really like that. But if, even though it makes sense, it's just overused. And I'm edgy. I don't know. I'm
not carry on.
Yeah. Carry on. Proceed. But the knowledge and the growth and the aha moments are mm-hmm. typically in the struggle, and we don't let people drown, mm-hmm. but we'll let their head bob underwater a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, not in real serious situations. I don't want people to think like, oh my gosh, somebody's literally drowning, right? But if people have issues in their life or in their business, and we're coaching them through that, we will just ask deeper questions and come from a place of curiosity and go 3, 4, 5, 6 layers deep mm-hmm. on something. But in our personal life, sometimes we just tend not to do that.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You think one would relate to the other or just correlate, but they don't. So I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, and I think too, like when you talk about that, like really tight circle of people, like who are your top five? Mm-hmm. Do your top five jump into problem solving, or do your top five just allow the space?
I would say typically a lot of mine are dudes besides you. It's just that way. And I would assume a lot of yours are females besides me. Maybe not. I don't know. And I do know, actually. And no, we really don't jump into problem solving, I guess. Like if we're fishing or around a bonfire, I'll say, hey, this is kind of effed right now. Or this is kind of this way. And they're like, oh, can I do anything? No, I'm good. All right, cool. And then we just go on to the next subject. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was just like, it just kind of occurred to me.
It's a good question.
Like, I actually think when we're experiencing pain or like suffering or a growth moment, sometimes we just want to know that.
Sometimes
like,
they're all the same thing.
Sometimes they're different. Sometimes they're the same.
The trifecta.
But it's like, sometimes we just want to know like someone's there, but they're not going to like jump in to fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it can't be fixed. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like, what solutions have you thought about? Mm-hmm. Maybe you just have to ask some questions. Mm-hmm. And I think so much like one of the pieces that this last year, like I've really thought about quite a bit is because I am trusting myself more. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go externally seeking for solutions all the time.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. Okay.
I actually just have to like sit with it and maybe write or sit with it and verbally express.
I do the writing thing a lot.
And it was just something that I noticed. I had a coaching session today with one of my coaching mentors, Vanessa. And it was just really interesting because
you guys remember her from episode one.
Yeah. She was in season one.
That's right. Yeah. She's amazing.
But it was just like, allowing this space for me to because I wrote something out, I was able in a safe space to go back and reread it and actually like find clues of things that I felt and actually what it meant. Like, and I remember typing it like,
were you angry typing?
I was probably angry typing. And then here I am today, 2 weeks later, I could reread it and be like in a different frame of mind, in a different like state, not like physical state, but like, like mental state, where I could be like, oh, that's really interesting that I wrote that, because I might have written that because it sounded good, but that's not actually what I needed. And I think it honestly goes back to having like a place of trust where you can start to like pound that out. Like, where is your safe space to like write, to speak, to do this, to do the work of self-discovery?
There's a couple things I heard in there that I want to comment on. One thing that I really, really despise. And when I do a lot of writing, like I feel I'm a decent writer.
Not a great speller.
No, my grammar and punctuation and spelling is horrible. But I also write how I speak. Anybody knows that.
Will speak.
Yes. But I will write things out when I'm angry at something or pissed at something. And I'll argue with myself on ChatGPT. That's kind of fun. Another thing that I, what was I going to say? Oh, is empathy. I think empathy is an overused word here nor there. Kind of like a few years ago, tribe was an overused word or whatever. Remember, I think I ranted about that on season one.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, now it's not, tribe's not really used anymore. It's a word that's kind of gone away. People say, oh, I know exactly how you feel. No, you freaking don't. You don't know how I feel. You have not experienced life through my lens. You don't know me, but it's very true. It's very true. So often people want to say, oh, I know exactly how you feel. No, you don't. You don't know crap about how I feel. And one of our neighbors just recently lost their husband unexpectedly, and we did a card, you know, for the neighborhood. And I never know what to write in those things. So I always just write that. I always write, I don't know what to say to you right now. And even if I did, I wouldn't know how to say it. I just want you to know that I'm here.
Yeah.
I find that's very powerful. And I think that's very, that's true for me at least.
Well, it's genuine.
It's very genuine. Because how the hell do you console someone?
Pinball and condole.
Whatever. Condolences is where I was going. But
yeah.
How do you console someone when you've never been through that yourself? And even if you have, it's not the same. We're all in exactly different spaces in our life than other people are.
Well, it's like every time I see something on like social media or whatnot about someone losing a pet or like an animal, I just am taken back to those times.
Oh, when it hurts every single
lost
time.
Lost a pet or an animal. And my heart is like in a blender.
Oh, gosh. I literally feel my stomach
like right now.
Yes.
Even just talking about it. And it's like, I know how I felt when, you know, we had like a significant loss. I know how I felt when, you know, we got that call. And, but it's like, oh, I know what you're going through. You're right. You don't.
You don't.
I know what my situation felt like. And that feeling of grief is so heavy.
Yeah.
I actually called a friend of ours yesterday who just lost a cousin unexpectedly, Emily Korb. And she was on my mind, and I just wanted to call her and tell her that she was on my mind because she just had a, you know, unexpected death in her family. And she was like, I really appreciate the call because it's like, I don't know why I'm going down this path,
but it's okay.
It feels, but I think sometimes,
because it's on the script that we don't have.
It's on the script that we don't have, but I just think sometimes like after the funeral is when the pain magnifies.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interesting topic. Funerals leading up to the funeral, I'm very non-emotional. And then at the funeral, at the end of it, I get overwhelmed. Absolutely. Like it's I'm fine. Then blah. Yeah.
And some people will shed tears right away. Some people shed tears all along the way. It's the way that they process. Me, I don't want to say ignore it. I don't want to use a word like compartmentalize. Why am I choosing hard words today? Because that sounds like a fancy word where I'm trying to be smart. But it just hits me different. Mm-hmm. It just hits different. Mm-hmm. So, wow, this is a cheery topic.
I know, it's so cheery. But I just want to bring it back to that trust piece. So, like, Will, like, for you, you've trusted yourself as a survival tactic.
Yes. You can't second guess yourself.
Like, in life, have you ever second guessed yourself?
No. Maybe I should have. Like, almost to a fault.
Like?
Sometimes you're in a relationship too long.
Oh,
and okay. And that's no knock on the other person, right? Like I respect them whatsoever. And so, like I said, it's not a beef with anything. But at the end, we both just knew that this had gone on for way too long.
You're talking previous relationships.
Yes.
You're not telling me anything.
Marriage. Yeah. You're stuck with me for the rest. Till death do us part, baby.
I'm like, just want to make sure our fans.
Yeah. Our fans know. No. And it was so... And I didn't second guess myself, and I probably should have. Maybe I should have made a decision sooner, but I made a decision and I stuck with it. I'm not saying it was a great decision, but it led me to you, so it's what I needed at the time, I guess. If you want to be hippie about it, what do I always say? A million things had to go right and a billion things had to go wrong in order for us to meet.
And what about your other favorite phrase?
To throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks.
That just drives me nuts. Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, so I'm just the one that stuck?
Here you are.
Or here you are.
Here I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think like, I think.
So typically, no, I don't second guess myself.
Do you think men, not trying to go like men, like Mars versus Venus here.
Yeah.
But do you think that's like just more common of men just to be like very much more like.
We can't be seen as weak.
But I just wonder like, is it just sometimes because we don't talk about these things?
Well.
Like, not you and me talk about these things, but like in general, it's like, is this a Sarah thing? Is this a female thing?
As a boy growing up, as a straight white male growing up, weakness would just bring on more being picked on and more being bullied. And if you were weak, kids are not nice, especially, I don't say especially then. I'm sure they're still little assholes now. But if you were weak... And second-guessing yourself could be, to me, I'm just speaking freely here, could be seen as a sign of weakness. Because if you can't make a decision and stick with it, who the hell are you, right? So if you were weak, you'd just be picked on more. And I got picked on a lot growing up. And then when I got bigger, I was no longer weak. So then I made a decision to beat a bunch of people's asses.
Oh, gosh. You know what I was just thinking about?
Hmm.
So, like, going back to this trust piece, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, self-worth.
Well, what about women?
Which
little girls growing up. Trusting yourself. Second-guessing yourself.
From my lens,
mm-hmm.
You have to be the good girls.
Okay.
Like, what's a good girl do?
Goes to church. Does Bible or Sunday school. Helps mom bake cookies on Sunday.
Are we going to ask questions that might be like against the grain?
No.
Are we going to...
No, you can't rock the boat.
You can't rock the boat. Are we going to like...
Oh, because girls would be a bitch. Boys would just be a boss. Confident.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's... Growing up, you don't know that.
No.
Because that's just how we're programmed. She's sassy.
I don't even think like my parents were like... It's something that my parents were taught.
No.
This isn't stuff like my mom and dad were like, ooh, let's make Sarah a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Let's make Sarah so she doesn't trust herself.
No. Yeah.
No. Like, they were just probably like, walk it off, kid.
Yeah.
Your joints are fine.
Yeah.
When my joints were hurting.
Oh, that's funny. I not to sidetrack, but I'm going to anyways. When I had my stomach issues, when I had dysmotility syndrome, it was everything from... Because I was extremely, I was a very slender young man. And then the dysmotility put weight on. I mean, look at my chicken legs. You can tell. Like,
I love your chicken legs.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I like chicken legs. I don't have them.
That's okay. But when I went to all these doctors for months and months and months before they finally, before I got so sick I couldn't leave the hospital, it was from depression to my diet.
Attention seeking.
Attention seeking was one of them. There was all these different things. Like I was seeing a psychologist. They're like, oh, you need to see a child psychologist because you have issues. Well, yeah, I did because whatever. But that wasn't causing my insides to stop working.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was in the hospital for 9 months.
And I think, like, as a kid, did you know how to self-advocate?
No, I just lashed out.
You showed it in other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My frustration, yeah, I mean, I was not a very good young man. We don't have to talk about that right now, but we guess we can. But no, I did a lot of things I regret. I don't regret them because they made me who I am today, but I did a lot of things I shouldn't have because I hurt other people to try and make myself feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just think it's like one of those things when you talk about like, where did it, like, I trusted myself as a kid, right? Like at some point, right? Like you're trusting yourself and at some point you get off track.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like getting off track and how that compounds for decades.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to take off from the equator of Minnesota, the equator of the planet, and you started headed towards the center of the moon, and you were off by 1/4 of a degree, by the time you reached the moon, you would miss it.
Yeah.
Significantly.
So imagine as you're on this like track in your life, and you get 1/4 degree off.
That's it. Just takes a little bit.
All of a sudden, it's like, it takes a lot of unraveling to get back to neutral.
I'm just going to throw this out there. This is kind of like a metaphor. When people get lost in the wilderness, they tend to be, most people are right-handed, so right foot, right arm dominant. They walk in a circle, and it'll take them miles and miles and miles. And all of a sudden, they ended up where they started when they initially got lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get off track. And it takes 30 or 40 years, and all of a sudden we get back to where we started, and we're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What have I been doing? It's kind of a weird thing to just kind of
Well, and I think some a concept I've just learned recently, and it's very, like, powerful for me, and I don't even know if I've told you about it.
You haven't told me about any of this. I mean, some of it, but let's hear it.
Well, maybe the podcast is just so, like, you and I can, like, I don't know, talk more about this stuff.
I guess.
But it's like, what situations in life do we recreate so we can actually go back and repair them?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept.
And so it's like, okay, I wasn't thinking that I was going to talk about this, but I'm going to. I've been on a mold detox since November 1st.
Yep.
A lot of people have asked me, like, how did you know that you needed the mold detox? And I'm like, it wasn't this... like, ooh, I think I have mold in my body.
Right.
It was, something is off, and I'm going to figure it out. And I'm not just going to trust that traditional blood work shows that I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like, no, like, we know when we're really in tune with our body, we know when something's off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I felt off last year. Mm-hmm. I knew something, my energy was off. I was sleeping, but I wasn't rested. If I were in third grade and I was like, Mom, Dad, something is just off. Or I used my voice to be like, no, I need to self-advocate. Would they have found Lyme sooner? Would they have trusted me to do the test? Like at 8 years old, 9 years old, it wasn't age appropriate for me to like self-advocating medical, you know, based on my age. Mm-hmm. But now as a, you know, 43-year-old, I'm self-advocating, like, I think there's something more. And it's not like I'm looking for something more.
Right.
As like an attention seeker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I think there's something more because like, I know what it feels like to be in optimal health.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not in optimal health and you know it, you're going to seek it.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't know what.
Yeah. When you're truly like accountable.
Yeah.
For your health.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that we talk about how we were as kids a lot. And I feel I treat children young adults, people younger than me, especially in those five, any age, I truly treat, especially like our neighbor girls. Mm-hmm. I talk to them like they're adults. Mm-hmm. I talk to all what we consider children like they're adults. What do you want to do? Like, what are you thinking about? Like, I don't treat little kids differently than I treat anybody else on this planet, because as a little kid, we were talked down to. Mm-hmm. Once again, not throwing shade, but, oh, you're just a kid. Oh, you're just faking it. You're just that. And I think both of us going through that experience, mm-hmm. We treat children way differently. Mm-hmm. They're just little adults.
Well, and we actually listen to what they're telling us.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's like, if you can listen to what they're saying without you trying to fix them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or offer solutions. It's mm-hmm. like, huh, what's really going on?
Mm-hmm. We get a chance to talk to the neighbor girls twice a day typically.
Yes.
How was your day? It was okay. Why? What happened? Well, this and this and this and this. And then she said this. I mean, oh, how'd that make you feel? I don't think I want to be friends with her anymore.
Okay.
Good decision.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real conversation I've had.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
And I think back to the childhood that I probably would have had. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, how could you make that friendship better?
Yeah.
Like,
how could you fix that?
And it's like,
I don't need to.
I don't need that person in my life.
Yeah.
But it's like, bend and flex to make it, to.
It's your job.
Yes.
To make it work.
Yes.
Which is bullshit.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also think back, talking about trust and like really trusting yourself. And, you know, I really wasn't thinking about that, trusting yourself with confidence. Mm-hmm. Like how you were like, well, I'm a confident person, so I guess I trust myself. But like, I think back to high school and I, in certain arenas, had confidence. Mm-hmm. But in arenas at school, I did not feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
I was more concerned about like my size, what mm-hmm. kind of car did I drive, 1988 Ford Mustang. I mean, it was like an old car for...
Every day I need attention. Yeah. Edina.
You know, but it was like, what did people eat? How much do you leave on your plate? So many different things where it's like, if I just had trusted myself, none of that would have mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's so much power in trust. You yawning?
I need to sit up more. I'm not tired. I just need to sit up more because I'm leaned back. Wasn't getting enough oxygen.
Should we need to do breathwork activity? Dragon breath? No, but I just think, wow. Like, I just am making this connection right now mm-hmm. because, quite honestly,
Verbal processor.
But it's like, that's what was one of the biggest missing pieces of my adolescent and college years
mm-hmm.
was how much did I actually trust myself, or how much was I just trying to fit in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to dive into there, and I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to all of that, but the fact that you bring it up, I think, is a pretty big step.
Yeah, well, because it's like almost like a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought those two were connected.
Trust and confidence?
Yeah. Trust in yourself
mm-hmm.
and confidence. I believe I thought about those as two different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
When I think it's like in the Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap.
I guess I'd always just assumed there was. But once again, I don't know how other people think, because I am definitely an outlier if we want to talk about a Venn diagram or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of overlap between me and other people the way I process.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even just thinking about like careers, I would have done anything to get out of a debate. I don't enjoy debate. Well, why?
Because somebody, you both need to win. You need to please both people. I don't know.
It's like, do I trust that I have enough knowledge to actually debate it, to like die on that hill? It's like, I don't really want to debate.
And knowledge is one of my core values.
So when people start to debate, or like, well, you know, it's like, oh, I want to get out of there as fast as possible. Like, it's fun for me.
It's interesting. Because if you were to think about the fight, flight, or freeze.
I know what my two are.
Mine's fight.
I know. Is mine?
No.
Mine are?
Flight and freeze.
Yes.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly so.
Which is normal. It's once again, it's not a flex to be like, oh, I immediately go into fight mode. That gets me in trouble sometimes. Sometimes you just shut my damn mouth.
But like fighting for me,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to choose to fight versus fight or flee,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes I'm so dysregulated with my emotions at that point. Mm-hmm. I'll say things I don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cry. You know, like there's all these other things because I actually am not regulated in my emotions. Or in my
what do you mean by regulated?
Because
that sounds negative to me.
So like if there is a traumatic experience where it's like you have three choices, fight, flight, or flee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to freeze
mm-hmm.
versus flight because fight, I can't say that.
I know what you mean. Yep.
Because in fight, I'm very concerned about how the other person feels. But my emotions are dysregulated, so it's like I can't even process that. I just become mean.
Okay, interesting.
Do you know what I'm saying, or does that not make sense? No. I'm beyond. It's like the volcano has erupted,
mm-hmm.
and now whatever item of proof my body is holding on to mm-hmm. as to why that other person has wronged me
mm-hmm.
is overflowing, and it may not even be fair.
Okay, well, I've maybe experienced that once or twice.
No. Tell me more.
No. Yeah, and honestly, when it becomes one of the three F's, when it becomes fight for me, I actually become very calm.
Very calm. Well, you become mute.
Well, no, that's not when, it depends on, not in the fight mode, but yeah.
Oh, maybe that was frozen mode for you.
No. No. Yeah, it is.
Frozen.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, this is what I actually do love about, like, conversing in this way with you is because we do, like, we can weave different, like, experiences that we've had maybe as children, as mm-hmm. adults, as, like, a couple, as all this stuff. But it's like, if we had sat down and been like, hey, Will, I have this agenda on what I was going to talk about.
No.
Like, it doesn't happen. Like, the magic doesn't happen there.
No, it wouldn't. Because this will help others. This is going to sound bad. This is a good use of time. Where, of course, talking with you would be a good use of time. But it's just different. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let it be at that. Don't put me on the spot like that. Rude.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have any indicators of when you're like in self-trust?
Constantly.
What are some of your indicators?
I'm just constantly in self-trust.
Okay. How do you know?
Just like I know, like right now, I know.
Okay.
It shouldn't be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's also why I'm so confident in the word no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can walk back a no. I cannot walk back a yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be very confident when I tell somebody something because I believe it. I'm going to do it. Or if I say no, I'm not in that situation anymore because I said no. And that's a full, complete sentence. There's no explanation needed but to say the words no. No. Why? No. But I can walk back a no if I want to mm-hmm. change it to yes if I feel I need to process that more.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my processing isn't because I need time to process it. It's because I don't have time right now to process it. Because
mm-hmm.
I do not switch from task to task very easily.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm doing one thing,
you're very that's focused.
All I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm sending a text message, do not talk to me until I'm done sending the text message because I can't do two things at once. The human brain cannot multitask. Don't get me started. And I just can't. So whatever I'm doing deserves my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, hey, William, do you want to do this? No. 3 hours later, tell me what you were talking about earlier. I was talking about this and this and this. Ask me again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget about it. I literally don't think about it anymore. And then the next day, because I have a mental load available, okay, tell me again, what are you thinking? No. I still might say no, but I want to hear more about it.
So for me, some of my like indicators, if you're curious.
No, but this, you do this all the time. You ask me a question and expect me to ask you back the question. So just ask the question.
So, like, if you're listening and you're wondering, if you've struggled with, like, having that, like, self-trust, like, really trusting yourself, like, sometimes what I have to do is just, like, close my eyes
mm-hmm.
and take a couple deep breaths and be like, what lands in my body as a yes?
What's a green light?
What's a green light?
What's a hell yes?
Yeah, and if there's that slight hesitation, that hesitation is a really good indicator.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I am like struggling to make a decision, sometimes I have to pay attention where if I can't make a decision,
mm-hmm.
well, that is the decision.
Right. Yeah. Inaction is the action you're going to take.
Yeah. Where it's like, I just don't know. Blah, blah, blah. We can be all like wishy-washy. And it's like, oh, that wasn't a hell yes. That's a no.
You've gotten really good. And I keep saying you because it's true. You've gotten really, because I've always been a hell yes or hell no type person. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm not yeah. doing that. No, the answer is no.
Oh, hey, gosh. Sounds like, familiar.
Yeah, do you want to go out to eat? No. What are we going to eat tonight? I'm not. I'll just eat tomorrow. Like, that's a normal conversation. But you'd be like, you know what? Maybe we should do this. And it'd be the right thing to do. And then you'll talk yourself into it.
Because I don't want to, like...
You'll start guilting yourself.
Yes.
You start guilting yourself for a decision that you haven't even made yet if you don't make the right one, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just like, F it.
Nope. And then you go to something and you're not really all there.
Which is a disservice to the people that you're with.
Yes. So it's like, if it's not a yes.
It's just a no.
It's a no.
Or not right now.
Yes. Maybe. And that's okay.
That is okay.
But remember, when you get off that track at a young age, and all you've learned is to be a good girl and like please mm-hmm. others and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, not showing up or not going to the dinner or not participating or mm-hmm. whatever, because I'm just like mentally done. Ugh. And then you have FOMO.
JOMO. You guys know what JOMO is? Joy of missing out.
And FOMO is fear of missing out. So it's like all those things are like, is it just easier to say yes, even though you don't really want to do it?
No, it's not.
For you, and I'm getting to that place okay. now where I yeah. can actually be like, yeah, no, I'm staying here.
Yeah.
Like you just ran down to the neighbors before yeah. this podcast and you were like, do you want to go? And I'm like, no.
And I just
say
left.
Say hi to everybody.
Because you no. said no.
I just wanted to like have
decompress
my
before we did this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just some of those things where I'm like a couple of resources. I mean, Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Light.
Oh, that's where it came from. Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when things are easy and you're in flow, you're on the right track. When you start hitting
the big Mo, motivation. Yeah. John Maxwell.
Yeah. When you start.
Momentum, excuse me. Big momentum. Big Mo.
When you start getting into like some of those like icky, sticky pieces, it's like, listen to that. That might be your body saying red light. No.
What about, and I don't want to go too much longer on this because we're probably already like 50 minutes. What about if your body's saying no, but you know it's what you have to do?
Mm. Give me an example.
Going to the gym tomorrow morning.
Well, if your body is saying no, do you go in the afternoon?
What if my body says no all the time? What if I'm actually just being lazy?
It could be that. I mean, that's actually something that I'd actually have to think about. But yeah. to me, I'm already thinking about tomorrow morning and I'm like,
ugh. I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow morning. But no, I'm going to say, like, because sometimes we have to make hard decisions that goes against every fiber in our being.
I just think it's like, okay, well, if you don't go to the gym, what's going to happen?
Okay. So you have a conversation with yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know how many days I have not wanted to get on my Peloton? Like, I'm not talking about recently. I'm talking mm-hmm. about, like,
mm-hmm.
when I first...
You said almost every day.
Yeah. But I had that conversation with myself. Okay, Sarah, what does life look like if you don't get on it?
There it is.
What does okay. life look like if that's the decision that you make? I literally see myself as an older person with you and I'm not mobile.
Mm, okay.
All right. Well, if I want to stay mobile...
Mm-hmm.
I need to move today
mm-hmm.
because it's not about like if I can walk around the block today.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do I ensure that I can walk around the block in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't start a mobility practice when I'm 70.
So you think you can, but so you think that's got to be exhausting sometimes. Thinking about how this, I mean, that type of decision-making tree could go down a lot of rabbit holes, and paralysis by analysis could set in. And so you've obviously did a lot of work on this, right? Obviously tons and tons and tons. And
well, honestly, it's like it goes back to our unreal life. And that is, what is my unreal life?
Mm-hmm.
I get FOMO. I get fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
It took one ride at Universal Studios
mm-hmm.
for me to have the biggest impact on my health.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, ma'am, you don't fit on this ride.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you better believe I'm going to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it caused me such, well, humiliation and FOMO. I don't want to ever experience that again because of my size.
And
I don't want to do that to you.
Oh, yeah, you worried like, about me so much, and it didn't affect me one bit. What affected me was how you responded to it,
because
I didn't want you to feel that way.
So I think sometimes, even though that was a horrible, embarrassing moment, look at what that moment did for my life.
Our life.
Our, yeah.
Because you drug me with you.
Yes.
Just by your action forced me to take action because I didn't want to get left behind. In the best of ways.
So you get FOMO too.
No.
Fear of FOLO?
What?
Fear of left out?
I saw you doing something for yourself, and I honestly felt, well, if I don't do this with her, I'm gonna let her down.
Mm.
And loyalty is one of my core values. So there's no way I'm gonna let you do something that I'm not gonna. That's going to better your life. I got to not keep pace with you, but show you that I care as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, she's doing it. I'm competitive now.
Right.
You're the competitive one.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say it in a bad way. One bit. You like to win.
We got
goals. Let's go. And by the way, just a quick reminder, an unreal life is a life so amazing, it's almost unbelievable. Oh, I'm actually wearing my Live Unreal hat.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. It's that on. So, wow. We just teased like 19 episodes. We talked about your mold detox for about 2 minutes.
We haven't even like gone into it yet. Maybe that will be next episode.
We haven't talked about the fateful day down at Orlando Studios in March of 3-4 years ago now.
Yep.
We haven't talked about like our tumors that we've both had, like the, you know, the stuff that we've been through personally and how we can just, it's crazy. That we could just draw a subject out of a hat, by the way, once again, if you have something that you want, not necessarily advice about, or if you just want us to listen to you about something, or you want to hear us talk about something, how we would approach it, once again, we're not licensed psychologists or whatever, but feel free to...
But we're pretty experienced in life.
Yes. Feel free to reach out and let us know. It's funny that we could draw a subject out of a hat, and we could have a conversation about it today. We could imagine how we would have had the conversation 10 years ago. And I can't even begin to imagine how we would have it 10 years from now.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking just even just now about that title of our podcast, like Life Behind the Highlight Reel.
Mm-hmm.
And most people probably wouldn't expect that I didn't trust myself for so many years.
Yeah. I think that it's interesting. Once again, even that name, when we picked that name... It was you saying that you wanted to say more, but maybe you weren't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Life Behind the Highlight Reel. I think that's way more impactful today than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's a way more impactful title.
Mm-hmm.
It has, I think you picked it subconsciously. Unconsciously, because subconscious is a derogatory term.
No, I actually did pick it consciously.
Yeah.
Do you remember how I picked it?
No.
Okay, so we were going through our financial... downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Financial. I mean, I don't even know what you call that era.
The year 2020.
I mean, it was just a really terrible time for us personally, but like on the outside, no one knew.
Right.
And we were on the cover of
a local magazine, yeah,
of Real Producers Magazine,
mm-hmm.
with all of our accolades and all the great things, and yet behind the scenes, like here at home,
excuse me,
we were not doing well financially. You know, we
or
were
physically,
or oh my gosh. Financially, physically, nutritionally, like we drank, like there's so many things, right? But it's like,
oh, we drank a lot of wine back then. Ton of wine every night.
And just think about how much wine, how much sugar is in wine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a whole other episode. Whole,
yeah.
But I was just like, I felt like fraudulent because it's like, we're having all these great things that everybody is seeing. And oh my gosh, great job. Oh, the Huffmans, you guys rock. You to the moon. And yet we couldn't pay our house payment.
Mm-hmm.
We were eating green beans. Like
I can zhuzh up some green beans.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I honestly, PTSD, we've hardly eaten
them. I don't think we've had green beans about twice since 2020.
But my whole point is it was like, we actually need to share what life looks like behind mm-hmm. the highlight reel. Like, hey, all that great stuff is happening, but here's the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if we sat down with more and more people, we would get a similar, maybe not to the extremes that we've had,
mm-hmm.
or
how do we know? Maybe even more extreme.
Like you, this is where it's like,
yeah, we can't put assume. That cap on us, on somebody else. Because our extreme is, yeah.
I was getting there.
Yeah.
I'm verbally processing.
Yeah. Like, and I'm already at the finish line.
Yeah. But I just think like there's just so much more. There's so much more than what meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's
robots
where
in disguise.
Oh, what's that?
Transformers.
Oh.
Robots, more than meets the eye. Sorry.
Okay. But it's like that's where the title came from. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like our real estate team.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with a good life group.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always know,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's like there's something.
And our name is even more relevant now than it's ever been, I think.
A good life group?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's like,
it's who we are.
It's who we are. And I just think like that's part of the magic. And I think that's part of the beauty. And that's part of, quite honestly, like trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we came up with a good life group, we knew.
Instantly. I bought the domain name for 10 years before it was even approved.
Yeah.
Can you
extend it?
Oh my gosh. We're coming up on seven years. I do need to buy it for another 10, 13 years. Yeah.
So, but my whole point is when you're on the right path,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You do.
And there's just a very confident,
mm-hmm.
solid,
mm-hmm.
grounded
mm-hmm.
feeling when you know.
Mm-hmm.
Life behind the highlight reel, we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just like, there you it knew. Is. Yes.
You knew. You picked that.
Yes. And I
just, was like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, cool. And I agonized over things
mm-hmm.
until I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, that's what it is. It's really easy. Green light.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that you were my person after like 10 minutes of knowing you.
In the Kmart game aisle in Anoka.
But it was the same.
Just knew.
I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And yet sometimes, you know, I remember I gave a friend of mine unsolicited feedback.
Which you received a lot of that about me.
But when I gave it to her, it really changed and altered our friendship.
Mm.
And I feel like now, if I were 20, whatever, that was never my feedback to give. Because maybe she knew.
Isn't that powerful? Those aren't your words to give sometimes.
Those aren't my words to give.
Yeah.
But I sure gave them. And mm-hmm. it changed a friendship.
But you don't ever use that as an excuse to not tell somebody the hard things.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say you in general, now, today. Today,
what I would have done now
mm-hmm.
is just ask more questions
mm-hmm.
and not to be like, are you making the right choice type of questions? Just mm-hmm. be like, tell me how he makes you feel. Tell me like, how do you like, do you know? How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just having some of those kinds of questions. And it's so interesting because it's like, holy crap, Will. Like, I haven't thought about, like, that's actually one of my regrets in life.
You should probably reach out to that person.
Yeah, like, it is one of my regrets in life, coming from that place where I was more judgmental than curious.
Mm-hmm.
Because how sad to have a friendship shift like that when it didn't need to happen, but I understand why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are still happily married and living a great life. But it's like, we don't need to, if we know, just hold that.
Awesome.
I don't know. That was...
I'm actually exhausted now.
Are you?
That was a good conversation.
Oh,
I mean, I'm tired anyways. It's past my bedtime. Maybe one of these days we can do it not at 8 o'clock at night.
No, I think this is like the magic hour.
All right. Cool. Anything else?
What do you have? What's your top takeaway from this episode?
I don't know.
I've got mine.
Of course you do. That's why you asked the question. Go ahead.
That you're going to answer.
What's your top takeaway?
When, like, don't forget that when you know,
mm-hmm.
other people know too.
I guess my top takeaway would be is that I didn't realize that people didn't equate trust and confidence as the same thing. Because if I trust somebody, I'm confident in them. And when I'm confident, I trust myself. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. And that's not a dig, obviously, because we all grew up differently. So I guess I never thought other people didn't correlate the two together, maybe.
Hmm.
That's kind of, yeah, that really took me by surprise a little bit.
Cool. You know what our next episode's going to be about?
No. Do you?
Yes,
you
I just sure? got it.
What?
Because I know. We're going to talk about, on our next episode, I'm super excited about it. We're probably going to talk about it tomorrow because I want to like get some of these in the hopper. Mm-hmm. Worthiness.
Mm.
We're going to talk about being worthy. And I'm super stoked about it.
I'm going to cry.
Why?
Because worthiness, the listing we just sold and how we got it.
Yeah.
And like,
you're crying right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm... No. But yeah, that's interesting because I do not couple worthiness with confidence and trust. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so we have more to talk about and I'm really excited about it.
Yay. All right, anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, everybody. As always, we out. Deuces. Hey, everybody. William here once again. And legal disclaimer, we are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with RE/MAX Results of Good Life Group and recently also licensed in Wisconsin with RE/MAX Results of Good Life Group. So here's the sales pitch. If you need a realtor, hit us up. Otherwise, enjoy.